That is Jack Jones and Meek at 7:43. Where did you go here at 92.9? This is an absolute honour to have a chat with Chris Humphrey, the Australian zoologist and also children's book author and owner as well of 2,000 bugs and creepy crawlies. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
No dramas at all. It's a valid point. You say here in your book that sort of the small micro creatures and insects and bugs and crustaceans and insects and spiders often don't get the pop star status of the larger, more charismatic animals. That's a valid point. I never looked at it like that.
Exactly right. Look, we're more likely to save a koala or, you know, a kangaroo or a, you know, an endangered whale, but when we see a spider or a bug in our back garden, we're more likely to squish on it or whack it over the head. So we're trying to change that stigma attached to invertebrates. And, you know, just like our workplaces and the schoolyard, you don't always like people, but we've got to learn to get along. And if we don't, well, things can fall down and break down. So, yeah, so that's the whole sort of premise of the book. It's, you know, you can't save the cute and cuddlies all the time. It's these creepy crawlies have a fantastic big job to do as well.
And it's remarkable the amount of, I guess, unfortunately, little insects and things like that that have such an important part in the ecosystem broadly that do unfortunately go extinct and no longer exist.
Yeah, yeah. They're like the canary in the coal mine. I mean, you know, you lose all these little invertebrates from, you know, loss of habitat and pollution and herbicides and pesticides. And, yeah, look, they're the animals that go first. But, you know, when you lose little guys, the big creatures go as well. They're all interconnected.
You've got a brand new book out where, this is the thing I love about it, kids are able to scan the QR codes and sort of get videos of the animals and sort of take them on a bit of an interactive journey. I love that.
Yeah, look, I'm trying to con kids a little bit there. You know, like my daughters, they don't like to read anymore. They're always on their devices or TikToking or doing, you know, what on their devices. But, yeah, this sort of kind of captivates their imagination in the tech world. And, you know, if your kids don't like reading or they're younger readers, they can scan the QR codes and the videos pop up and I'm talking about the animals. I'll never leave their side. So, look, it's an interactive way and it's like when we were kids, we had the golden books with Tinkerbell, Ring the Bell, and no, but just catching up with the times. And thank goodness for COVID in some ways because I learned how to use a QR code.
I think we all did. What are some of the bugs that you cover off in this new book, Chris?
Yeah, look, there's the creepy sort of tarantulas and the scorpions, and then there's the fascinating phasmids, the stick insects, which you find around Tamworth as well. You know, we're trying to sort of anthropomorphize the animals and trying to draw some synergies with, you know, our lives as well. You know, we breathe through our nose, but these bugs, they breathe through their backsides, so a bum-breathing bug, you know, captivates kids' imagination. You know, the stinger of a scorpion is called a telson. Amazing that scorpions, when they're breeding, they interact with the females and actually sting her and anaesthetise her for a bit so they can reproduce with her. So, quirky fun facts.
Yeah, right. Wow, incredible. How did you, have you always had a fascination with bugs and things like that, or did you like larger animals, end up studying them, becoming a zoologist, and then going, you know what, I like the little guys?
Well, I've always been fascinated by Lewis Carroll and, you know, through the looking glass and going down the rabbit burrow and just looking at things up close and just that wonderment of just stopping and observing. And funnily enough, you know, when I was a kid at 3 years of age, not far from you guys, I found a frog in Coffs Harbour into the urinal at 3. So I'm 48 now. I've had that frog for 45 years. So wonderment for nature has always stuck with me.
You're kidding, a 45-year-old frog?
Exactly. Well, she's getting long on the tooth now, but she's very famous, actually, and yeah, she's been around for a long time. So I've got 2,000 animals I care for at my private zoo, and I've trained in zoology, but it's all about those life experiences of travelling, getting outdoors, observing. That's when you really learn your stuff.
How long do frogs actually live for, normally?
Well, no one really knows. 20 years is a good innings, but excuse me, I've got a frog in my own throat. 45 years is a good life for a frog. There's a couple others around too, around their 40s. So hopefully she's got a couple of years left in her.
I think we need to change the saying. You know how everyone says that cockatoos and birds like that live forever?
Over 100 years. But yeah, frogs, if you look after them properly, they're lifelong buddies.
That is remarkable. Surely there is, I mean, a lot of us are afraid of snakes and spiders. Do you have some sort of insect that you do get a little qualmy over?
I'm not scared of much, but the only creature I'm scared of are mice and rats. Petrified. Yeah. Absolutely. But so I understand people's phobias of spiders and, you know, and moths and creepy crawlies, but, you know, when you step back and look at them, they're not going to hurt you. Just leave them alone. Don't leave you alone, but they're vital for the food web and the natural world. And many of these creatures pollinate flowers, and many of these creatures, if you don't have spiders, there'll be bugs everywhere, and that's bad for people kind as well.
What's your favourite insect?
My favourite insect is the leaf insect, the Montes stick insect, the leaf insect from northern Queensland. It looks literally like a leaf, and when you keep them in captivity, you can't even see them in the enclosure. They're that well camouflaged. They're masters of mimicry, and they're just, you know, they're only two females have ever been found in the wild because they're so cryptic. I think that's just amazing. I mean, who needs Marvel comics or superheroes when you've got these fascinating beasties living on our back doorstep?
That is remarkable. Only two females found in the wild.
Yeah, the males are more common because they fly around. The females are more sedentary and don't move so much. But, yeah, they're found around, you know, up around Cairns and in the tropical rainforest. And, yeah, they're very rarely seen. Only after cyclones and when they get disturbed that they pop up in people's backyards.
That is remarkable. Crazy.
And they're parthenogenic, so they actually reproduce, they clone themselves. They can lay an egg without having to reproduce with a male. I always find that fascinating that, you know, bugs have the ability to do that.
That is nuts.
It is, isn't it? And they grow back their legs if they lose them. I mean, wouldn't it be handy if we could do that?
That is just crazy. It's a fascinating world out there with insects and all those bits and pieces and just animals in general, I guess.
Yeah, and it's accessible for kids. I mean, you only have to go out in your back door, you know, roll a rock and be careful. Look for bugs in your back garden. Even lift up the back doorstep mats and you might find a millipede or a slater. I mean, even slaters, we all call them slater bugs, but they're actually related to the crab. They're a crustacean. And they have a pouch where their baby grows up inside called a marsupium. So, you know, when you look at them like that, you go, hey, that's pretty nifty.
How often are they constantly finding new bugs and insects all the time?
Yes, they are. They absolutely are. Because I think there's 160 new species of creatures found in Queensland last year alone.
Wow.
So, yeah, but they're always being identified. And that's the thing. We don't know, you know, We might be losing creatures that are living literally underneath our noses. So a millipede was discovered last year in Western Australia with actually 1,000 legs. You know, everyone thinks that every millipede's got 1,000 legs or a million legs, but only one has been discovered with 1,000 legs, and that was found in a mine shaft in Western Australia. So, you know, it's just fascinating. I mean, a lot of these creatures could unlock, you know, pharmaceutical properties that actually help people kind out as well. So, you know, they really are living treasures, and we've got to protect them.
Who was the poor scientist that had to count all the legs on that? I passed on that job.
hard to get a bank loan with that job.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, the book is out now for kids to be able to purchase.
Exactly. In all good bookstores, as they say, we can buy it from New Holland Publishing from their website.
Fantastic. Chris, fascinating to chat. Thank you so much for your time this morning. You have an awesome day.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Total Tools is Tamworth's biggest locally owned and operated.
That is Lizzo at 8:43, about damn time, here at 92.9. Morning, Ames!
Morning! Oh my God, JB, I made it on air. Do I get tickets?
No. Soz. Doesn't work for stuff.
I had to do it. Well, I had to do it.
I beg the question, would you go anyway?
No.
No, okay.
We all know.
Yeah.
I don't like football. I know nothing about football, which was quite evident earlier in the week.
Yeah, good point. Had a slight issue with the what happens next on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to the people that I told was wrong. You were actually right. I was looking at the wrong letter for the answer.
That's gold.
I was looking at the one above.
Poor people.
I'm so sorry
about
that. I hope
that.
You got some tickets anyway.
Our apologies. So you read the question, but the answer A under it, you thought it was the one above it.
Yes. I don't know why.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know
logical.
How.
It's been a long week.
Yes.
I'll forgive you for that one. I know that on Wednesday, I had to, I wrote the questions out, but I had to remember when I wrote the questions out the week prior when I was off for COVID, I had to remember what the correct answer was because I actually didn't put an answer on that one.
Nice.
For Wednesday.
I even
so
highlighted it and all. I was like, I read it. I double read it. I was ready. And then I don't know what happened. So I think what we've learned is we don't give Amy anything to do with sport.
Yeah. Nothing. Yep. Sports.
Just nothing sport related.
Sports.
Can't do it.
Out. Yep. Done. Hey, what do you count 5:30? Is that evening or afternoon?
Ooh, it's still... Look, technically, afternoon ends at 6, and then it becomes night. Or evening.
Yeah.
So
you count evening and kicking out at 6?
Yes.
I always went with 5. 5 was evening for me.
Yeah, but in summer, it's still bloody bright daylight.
So you go off daylight? Daylight percentile in the sky.
Yeah, maybe. Very scientific. That has a factor. I honestly don't think about these things.
Well, that's the joys of radio. We always put these random inane questions out there that no one ever thinks of and go, you know, I never thought of that till the bloke on the radio said that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. See? Yeah.
No, we'll see, 5 p.m. in winter, I guess, is evening because it's basically dark.
Yeah.
In summer, because it's still light
evening
the next
is
3 hours.
8 p.m.
Yeah.
Till 11.
Yeah, and then it's night.
And then it's night time. Everything gets put back 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
That's why I bring you in for these things, because I never thought about analysis of the evening and summer in summer. So, never thought of that.
I'm very light driven.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Photography?
Yeah.
Of course.
The
golden hour.
Oh, look at that light.
Hey, we'll draw the winner next of our K's Friday Meet Tray. Everyone who made it on air this morning, of course, got themselves tickets to the NRL tomorrow night, but also went in the draw for the K's Friday Meet Tray. So we'll announce the winner for that right after this. You too. This is Pride, bracket, In the Name of Love, end bracket. Or I think it's like actually not a bracket, it's a Prometheus or whatever it is, isn't it?
I just play the song, JD.
Sounds like an alien movie. Prometheus. Ian Moss, of course, performing tomorrow night at the Tamworth Town Hall with Troy Cassidaly. Going to be a great show. Together Alone is the name of the tour. That is Tucker's Daughter, about the only song I know of that mentions Narrabri in it. I don't think there's any others. I have to admit, when I was growing up in Adelaide as a kid, I had no idea what he was actually singing about. Then when I moved here, I went, oh, right, it makes sense now.
I've never even heard the lyrics.
I'll play it for you off air. Okay. I just played it then, so I can't play it again. As much as I like the song, I can't play it again.
Hold me up.
7:20.
Time to get slightly snobby with Letters from Tamworth.
Time to find out what's going on in our sister city of Tamworth, Staffordshire this week. This is exciting. It's a bit of a wedding story.
Oh,
you love a wedding
story.
We certainly do. Keith and Shirley Minchell's wedding at the Castle Hotel on Friday, where they got taken away from the wedding, the wedding, what is it, where you actually get the wedding ceremony?
Yeah, the ceremony.
The ceremony to the reception.
Mm-hmm.
Keith got driven away in a Dodgem car.
He did not.
Yeah, look at that. I got a photo.
I was gonna say, they sound elderly because her name's Shirley. Oh my gosh, that's so
cute.
How
cool is that? There's a fella there, Mark Harper, who makes bespoke transport options.
Mm.
And he made earlier on in the year a Dodgem car that he managed to rig up so it actually drives properly like a normal vehicle.
Would I do it? No, but I really think it's cute that they did.
That's very cool.
And cobblestone streets are not great for Dodgem cars, hey?
No, and Keith does have issues walking as well.
Ooh.
So that was why Shirley thought she'd surprise him with this. He had no idea.
That
so
is
he's
so
come
cute.
He's oh. come out of the he's this is a news story we need on a Friday
yeah.
morning, isn't it? While it's raining outside, this is kind of the good news stuff, you know?
It is. I love that.
Mark's come out of the wedding ceremony just expecting, you know, a limo or something
yeah.
like that there. And Dodgem car's
and
waiting.
He looks well pleased in that picture.
He's loving life. Fantastic. We'll put that up on our Facebook page a little later on. It's fantastic. Love it. Did you have a wedding? Yes, you did have a wedding.
Yeah,
I'll rephrase that. What mode of transport did you have at your wedding? Did you go a limo?
I had a limousine.
Yeah.
And what did Sam have?
Normal limousine, or did you go like the Hummer?
No, I'm not into that. It was Hummer. just like a normal limo for my dad and my bridesmaids.
Black limo or white limo?
It was black.
With ribbon around
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I had a ribbon on the top, yeah. like, you know, the bonnet. But then what did Sam have? He had like some kind of, he's real into cars.
Yeah, okay.
And he had some kind of, I don't know, like maybe a Mustang or something.
Oh, okay. Because
his best man and best friend, he's like an auto elec.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember because they were up at the place already.
Like, oh, okay.
It was like in the mountains.
Yeah.
And like everyone was staying. It was on like a Labor Day, like a weekend.
Yeah.
And so they all got their way before me. So I don't know what they... It was something.
You get married again, would you do the whole limo thing again or don't care?
No, mate. I wouldn't even do a big wedding. I would do like literally like a backyard wedding with like food trucks or I'd just elope in like Italy.
Cool.
It's too much money and too much effort.
Yeah, not...
And once you've kind of done it, you're like, I've had the big wedding. Yeah. Like, you know, I do everything so different. But I'm not really bothered.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
No.
Neither here nor there with it. You definitely wouldn't get the big stretch, the stretch Hummer limo.
No, I find that so cringe, hey. Yeah, what about you? Here. When are you getting married?
7:23.
Oh, I hope Case is listening because I bet she's on you. At your birthday party, she was.
Yes. Yeah. No, it will happen.
When, mate? It's been 25 years.
25 years. Not far off.
Right.
People will take a little bit.
I was at Harvey Norman Tamworth today. Their kitchen showroom is amazing. All the best brands and styles and all at Fen.
That is you too. Pride. Bracket. In the... No, I won't.
Please don't.
Ames is like, it's a Friday. It's 8:50. It's going to be a long enough day. Don't do that.
You started doing it the first time and I was sitting over here shaking my head. This is why we need the webcam.
Very true. Hey, I didn't get the girl's name, but thank you very much for the phone call before. While we were off air, someone rang up and said, hey, just let Ames know that she said that she doesn't like the football or know anything about it. You don't need to know anything about the football. You just go along for the perv.
Oh, yeah.
That was from the caller, not me.
She must be young. I'm getting too old for that. I've married and got kids. I'm having a perv.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time. I can see where you're coming from, though.
Hey, Friday meat tray time.
Okay.
Everyone who rang up this week went in the draw for our case Friday meat tray. Give me a number. Well, everyone that rang up and made it on air.
Yes.
Because trust me, we get more than 12 callers.
Yeah.
Those that make it on air go
I
in the draw
I think the phone's
for this
rang about 10 times since I've got in here at 8:30.
It's been crazy.
Yeah.
And just, you know, fantastic commentary like that call before.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Thank you very much. 676-2299 is the number. Give me a number between 1 and 13. What do you reckon? What?
Six.
Well done.
Can you read your writing?
No.
He's like...
I'm struggling.
Get it a bit closer, JB. Right in front of your glasses.
I got my eyes checked the other day. That's a concern, isn't it?
Very concerned.
Well done, Scotty Miller. Woo! Well done. Woo! Oh, Scott was a guy... We were chatting about manicuring... giving rabbits manicures. I remember that
really?
Now. Yeah. Scotty wanted to know all about rabbits.
JB conversation.
He said last week on my week off, did I sit at home and brush the rabbits and trim their claws?
Did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
And then he was wondering if you can actually do that. And I said, yes, you can. You can. You can trim their claws.
Like dogs and cats. Well, yeah. Not cats, but dogs.
Do you have to trim cats' claws, or do they naturally?
No, I think they naturally they scratch things.
Yeah,
that's how
of
that
course.
Happens.
Yeah,
I was just like dogs and cats. No way.
Yeah.
You trim horses' hooves.
That's very true.
Yes.
That's it. You see all those YouTube videos all the time of people doing the
it's
horseshoe
crazy.
Stuff.
I've seen some bad horseshoes.
It's gross.
Hooves
yeah.
even.
Yeah. Oh, and look, and horseshoes
Friday.
As well. Yeah. Put them on the wrong way round, and you go, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Honestly. Well done, Scotty. $50 worth of meat at K's in Brewery Lane. All yours. We'll clear out the meat tray, and we'll do another one next week.